In Acts chapter 2, let me read this to you and it'll come up on screen. I'm going to talk to you today. Last week was the emphasis on prayer. Today is going to be the position of prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they were together. Oh, how I pray. Now hear me now. Oh, how I pray the church, not only locally, but throughout the church worldwide, would be in one accord. And not in competition. Now you say, Pastor, that's, what do you mean? You look at it in the New Testament. There was so much competition going on. It got radical for Paul and the others, Peter, and those that were trying to build the kingdom on Jesus' word, on the rock, on who he was. But they were up there, 120 of them, in an upper room. Now, it's so important that we understand that in this upper room, this place where how beautiful it was that they were there and how magnificent it was, but this area that they were promised by Jesus to go there and tarry ye in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Jesus spoke to them to do this. And how important was it they went there and they waited. And they were in one accord. They were in one mind. They were all together sitting in a room believing God. Something was going to happen. And when you pray, you have to believe something's going to happen.
Amen.
I've heard somebody pray one day. They were praying over some people to be healed. And he says, I don't know what you're going to do here, God. I don't know if you're really going to do this, but in Jesus' name, I'm going to pray for them. Well, of course nothing's going to happen. I was in a revival in Goshen, California. A young preacher, a young evangelist, and place was full, and I called the altar call, and I went up to a lady there, and she said, I need prayer, I need healing. I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And she says, no. I just walked away from her. If you don't believe that Jesus is going to heal you, you're not going to be healed. You have to have a belief system and a trust in God when you pray. Let's move on now here. They were in one place. In other words, they were in agreement. You need to be in agreement. This is your position of prayer. You need to be in agreement with God. It doesn't work to argue with God or to debate with him. Shakespeare said it like this. He said, do not argue with God, because it's like somebody arguing with somebody who owns the paper mill, the ink factory, and the printing press, and all you have in your hand is a short, stubby pencil with an eraser that's broke off, and there's no more time or any area in the pencil that you can sharpen it. You need to believe God and trust God. Be in agreement with what the Word says when you pray. Be in agreement that this Word says that God will heal, God will save, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, he will baptize you in fire, he will acknowledge you across the heavens, he will bless your home, he will give you an abundant life, he will walk with you, he will watch over your children, he will heal your marriage, he will bless you, he will answer your prayers, and he will bring miracles into your home. That's just a short list. What God can do. And I may not have touched what you want God to do, but let me just say this. He's going to do what you want him to do if it's sanctified. If it's his will for your life. You know, you can burn a lot of rubber trying to speed out of somewhere if you're not going to the right place, because God's not going to allow you to go because it's not his will. You got to be in God's will, and that's a tough adjustment for all of us. Are you with me? That's a tough adjustment because we want God to come into our will. Come on, God, come on over here. I want you on my side right now. I need you. No, we need to be in God's will. You know, the Bible says in 1 John in chapter 5 that we're confident that he hears us and will receive the things that we have prayed to him if we pray according to his will. You know, they were in agreement. That's what the Greek word means there, in one accordance. They were in agreement. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now that was quite an experience. I think I would have loved to have been there. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes in. Now I've preached revivals before, and I'm not trying to center on myself. But I've been in San Jose, California at the Eastridge Church of God. Again, as a young evangelist, the place was packed out. And but literally, I saw the Spirit of the Lord come in the back of the building like a wave. And people had their arms up and they began to wave by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It just waved, and then people ran to the altar and people were filled and slain in the Holy Ghost and baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed. Just watch that come in. It's an amazing thing to see the power of God enter into a room that was still. There's no windows. The door was closed, but yet the winds of the Holy Ghost came in and began to make people bend in the wind and praise God, and they ran to the altars. So he's into wanting us to be blessed. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when, you know, you receive the Holy Ghost and maybe you're in prayer, you know, God, once you walk into this system of God, this kingdom of God, this righteousness of God, this family of God, once you walk into the presence of God and you allow God to take over your life, things begin to happen.
Amen.
And you know, maybe you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost today, and I would love to pray for you at the end of this service to be received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you would have the evidence then. You would be baptized in fire and you'd have the evidence of speaking in tongues. You go, oh no, I'm getting out of here now. When he calls the altar call, I'm gone. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to pray God chases you down. Amen. But the point is that what we have to understand is that after the baptism comes the gifts. I pray in tongues all day. I'm working around the house. I'm working on the property. I'm on my way to the market. I'm on my way to the store. I'm on my way to church. I'm on my way to go to something that I have to take care of, a ministry business. I'm praying in tongues. When I first came to Santa Cruz in 2000, I flew out from Illinois to come back and to set our ministry up in Santa Cruz. I walked up and down the streets in the mall, Santa Cruz Mall. Has anybody ever been on the mall there, the walking mall down there in Santa Cruz? Praying in tongues. People were looking at me and I just kept on praying in tongues. But, you know, there's people talking to themselves all over Santa Cruz all the time.
Yeah.
So I could just pray and they would just, okay, they'd just go for it. But I just believe God. I asked God to come into that city. And I'm waiting for the response of that because he gave me a vision that what was going to happen was I saw water coming in throughout the streets of Santa Cruz. White cap waves coming in. And somebody else had the vision, and we met in these last couple of years, and they shared this vision, and I said, I had the same vision. And the Holy Spirit told me that it's going to be as of God coming in with anointing and washing that city clean of all its sin and all its revelry and debauchery. Oh my God. And just to wash that city, and it'll be a city that will praise God.
Amen.
So what we have to understand that there is areas in our life that we have to work with, and we have to understand there are four areas in our life that we have to understand and we have to kind of look at and live with. The first area is going to be the place that we work with in prayer. The place. Now, Jesus, the unique thing about Jesus, are you with me? Everybody's looking at me like, where are you going? Jesus was about to get into the most treacherous part of his life. You know, when people tried to attack him during his walking on this earth, he would just walk through them. But this was the time that he was going to be known for who he was, even though he was telling everybody who he was the whole time he was on the earth. This was the time that he was going to be betrayed in the garden. So where did he go to pray? He found a place to pray in the garden. And he takes three disciples with him. And he says to them, wait here while I go further and I pray. Now he wanted to get close to God. Sometimes you and I need to get close to God. We need to find that place of prayer. And I just hope everybody today that's hearing me or watching this on Facebook, that you already have a place of prayer. That's your place. That's where you go. I have several places, by the way, because I'm such a busy guy, and I really would like to relax a little bit, but God has me going all the time, so I have several places of prayer. I have a red chair in my house that I pray in. Amen? And I just pray there. I have areas of my home that I go to and pray. But you know what? I have a really great altar in my car. Because I'm on the road so much, I'm praying, and I know people come by me, and I'm going, you know, I'm sitting there praying in the Holy Ghost. My hands may be up, and I'm steering with my knees, whatever, and they're looking at me like, whoa. But let me tell you something right now. I am seeking the face of God. If I have to drive someplace, and it's a habit I formed way back when I became a minister of the gospel, I'd have to drive all over California, Nevada to preach. And I would drive 6 hours from one place to the other, and I would pray the whole time, 6 hours. When I got there, I was too anointed for the people. They would think, whoa, who is this guy? Because I was been with God for 6 hours, and they hadn't been with God at all, and I started preaching, and then all of a sudden they caught on to it, and they began to see what God was doing, and they got saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost and power, because when you pray, God uses you as a vessel to touch lives.
Amen.
When you don't pray, God's not going to use you as a vessel.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
And what I'm trying to say is you need to have that place of prayer. Well, they had the place of prayer. You know, I used to have a prayer meeting, Kathy and I, for nine straight years. Got up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and prayed till 8. 3 hours of prayer every morning, including Saturday. Everybody asked me, why don't you take one day off? I said, how can you take a day off being with God? How can you take a day off? And I know I'm a radical prayer person. You know I got the t-shirt on that says I am a Pentecostal. I know I'm radical about faith. I'm radical about miracles. I'm radical about Jesus. I just believe Jesus can do great things. And I would rather be in the middle of the great things than be way over there viewing the great things from a distance. But I remember, you see, we're going to talk about posture in a minute. But people would come in to pray. There would be people coming in and they would kneel. You know, go to that slide. You know, we just go to that. And they would come in and kneel. Some people would walk. You know, have you ever noticed some people when they pray, some people will go up against a wall and they'll pray against the wall. Some people will start to go like this when they pray, like they do over in the wall, the prayer wall over in Jerusalem. There's all sorts of things. People will lie down and prostrate themselves on the ground. They will. Some people will sit. Some people will sit and put their head down there by their knees like Elijah did. And there's all these postures of prayer. Now, let me tell you something. There is no right posture. It's how you feel comfortable when you're praying. Now, this is what I used to see here. When you see this, and he came in Matthew 26, Jesus said, "Wait here while I go further to pray." He comes back and he finds them asleep. He said, "Couldn't you just pray with me?" You see, they sat down by a tree and they fell asleep. Now, sitting's a good way to pray. I understand that. But they fell asleep. When we had our prayer meeting there, I remember watching people come in and bear people come in and they'd be excited to be in prayer. I mean, how you be excited at 5 o'clock in the morning? You got to really be into prayer to be excited at 5, because you have to get up at 4:15 to get looking good, you know. Okay. And so anyhow, they come in. But I remember people would draw their blanket and their pillow in, and they'd come into the church and they find a pew. In those days we had pews. They would go and they'd lay down on the pew, and I know they didn't come to pray. They came to do the Peter, James, and John thing. They came to sleep while others prayed. You see, if you got to get, make sure the position that, or the posture you get in doesn't put you to sleep. I talked with a pastor who ran the same type of prayer meeting. He called me on the phone. He said, this is years ago. And he's a great friend of mine even till today. But he said, "Dennis, I don't know how you're doing it." He said, "Every time I go at 5, I start to pray, I wake myself up snoring. Every time. I don't know how you do it." I said, "Just keep going. Maybe you're snoring in tongues. I don't know what it is, but just keep on praying. Don't give up. Stay disciplined." This posture thing, some people want to make you feel guilty if you don't kneel. If you don't kneel and pray, you're not praying right. You find a way to pray. What you're comfortable at. God's not interested so much in posture as he is in the place. Because he wants you to be able to be in a place where you can not answer the phone. You see, these phones we have called the smartphone, you need to turn it off when you go into prayer. Because prayer is more important than what's on the NBA this week. Or what your baseball team is doing. It's more important than anything else. And can I say something to you? When you're praying, God knows how to take care of your difficulties. He knows how to bless you. He keeps your children safe. He keeps your wife or husband safe. He keeps things safe. I mean, why Rebecca was gone over in Colta, Colombia, I prayed for her every day and for all those that were there, that there would be miraculous outpourings of the Holy Spirit and blessings would touch those children. Amen. You just don't take it. I was in several different postures when I prayed. I was driving to Salinas, driving back from Salinas, driving to Santa Cruz, driving up here, driving all over the Bay Area, praying, and late at night I'd be in the red chair, laid back in the red chair. I don't even know what time it was over there in Colta, Colombia when I was praying, but I would pray. I tried to figure it out what time it was because I hit these texts at 3:25 in the morning, you know, and I'm thinking it must be different timing over there. But the bottom line is that you need to pray. Find your place of prayer. Amen. Just like they did in Acts chapter 2. They found a place to be in one accordance, to be in agreement with God. Don't find a place where you're not going to be in agreement with God. And don't invite anybody to your personal prayer meeting who's going to interrupt your prayer meeting. Amen. Invite people in your prayer meeting that is going to be in one accordance, in agreement with what you're praying for. You know, where two agree is touching the same thing. Wow. or two or three together, Jesus is in the midst of them. Hallelujah. It's so important we understand this place of prayer and this posture of prayer really helps us to see what God has done. Don't be like the disciples, those three. They were asleep. Jesus came back three times. What are you doing? I'm grieving over here. I got blood on my face because I'm dropping blood. I'm grieving so much. I'm about to go through the worst thing in my whole life so you can go through the best thing in your life. And you're asleep. You see, I am praying. Others are praying right now, together in unison, for 1 billion souls to be saved. We're praying also for a spiritual awakening to rise up, not this little ripple that we see, but to rise up in the fire of the Holy Ghost to come across America in power and anointing. And we come back to the days, I don't want to reach into history, but oh, this one I'm going to come back to the days when the Holy Spirit comes into the church in power and anointing, and nobody can deny the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Are you with me? I'm with me. If you're not with me, I'm with me right now. I'm telling you what I believe is God wants this in America again.
Yes.
I mean, there is so much confusion in our country, from the church to Washington, D.C. There's so many violence in the country, from the east to the west coast and from the north to the south. So much violence. My God, did you pray for Santa Fe? My Lord, my God, what's happening in our nation? We need to pray. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening, that people will come alive in their heart and in their mind, that God is God and He's all powerful and He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's an abundant in kindness, and He's a graceful God. He's a merciful God. You can't live in sin and think God's going to show me mercy. I'm going to stay in my sin, but God is going to show me mercy. That's not right. You're not communicating with God that way. You're saying, God, come on over to my darkness, in my immorality, in my revelry, in the things that I know that are not right in the Bible. Come over and into my life of darkness and be merciful to me as I continue in this. What are you talking about? They weren't like that in that upper room. They were there because there was a promise that God gave. What? I want you to listen to me, please. What promise has God given you? Get in one accordance. Get in agreement with God and wait patiently. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. A promise that God gives us. A promise in prayer. So we go from place to posture to performance. How do you perform your prayer? What do you mean by that, preacher? How do you mean that, pastor? How do you mean that, performance? You perform your prayer in discipline. There's a discipline in your prayer life. You perform your prayer in how you pray. Not everybody prays the same. You know, you're performing in prayer, and some people laugh, and some people have joy in prayer. Some people are quiet in prayer. Some people are very boisterous in prayer. And some people just want to just whisper their prayers to God. All that is good. We had a witch come. 5:30 in the morning. I got folks in that church praying. They're up at 5:30 in the morning. And this witch stands up, goes over, and she brings a little coven with her. And they go over there and they tell the folks that are in there. Now, I'm so thankful people are praying at 5:30 in the morning. Wouldn't you if you called a prayer meeting and people showed up? Am I helping anybody? And they tell the people praying in the Holy Ghost, stop praying in that language. You're interrupting our prayers. Well, they never came back because I ended that right away. Just get out of here. Amen. You know, when you understand, the enemy does not want you to pray in the spirit. Because he can't understand what you're praying, and you probably don't understand what you're praying unless God gives you the interpretation. But who cares? It's wonderful. You see, what I'm saying is there's performance. When God asks you to do something in prayer, do it. When God asks you to pray for somebody that you know, do it. If God puts somebody in your heart when you're praying, do it. Put in their name before God. You pray when God drops something into your spirit. Don't keep it. Release it.
Amen.
And lastly, there's a word called pensive, which means be thoughtful of what you're praying. How many understand when you go to prayer, it seems to me that we get the wandering spirit? You start praying and all of a sudden your mind starts wandering. It goes somewhere else. You know what? You're praying and you don't even realize that you're down the street at the store, or you're in a memory way back when something's stirring. You know, you just lose focus of what you're praying for. Does that ever happen to you all? Where all of a sudden, you know, you just lose focus. God wants us, when we pray, to stay focused on what we're praying. That's why they were in one accordance. They were together in thought. They were pensive. Jesus was pensive when he was praying. Peter, James, and John were asleep. They were so impressed with Jesus' prayer that in Luke 11, they said, "Teach us to pray." And hopefully down the road, I'll give a series on the Lord's Prayer, which I've done for years. But literally, he shared the Lord's Prayer. And let me encourage you in my closing. Be thoughtful what you're praying for. Because what you're praying for is important. God never has you to pray for things that aren't important. I pray for you all every week. Pray for your kids. Pray for your family. Pray for joy unspeakable to come into your homes. Pray for prosperity to hit your household. Pray for God to, whatever mistakes that you have made, that God will make your mistakes into miracles. I pray for you all. Why? Because I love you. Why do I love you? Because we're family. Why do I love you? Because we are all in one accordance and agreement that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. When you learn to love people, everyone that walks on this planet, you love them. And you learn to obey God in everything. Those two things, you got it down. You see, prayer, what does prayer do? And I said I was going to close it, but let me get this out. What does prayer do? It takes you off the judgment seat and allows the Holy Spirit to sit back where he belongs and you to get out of his way. Prayer draws you to that place where you are in the presence of the love of God.